Now let's go into scriptures and let's open Leviticus chapter 13. We have very interesting place of scripture for tonight, today, I'm sorry. So in the chapter of today's Torah lesson, we read much about leprosy. Leprosy, a terrible disease of the ancient world, and also about the birth of a child. Two Torah chapters in one today. In both cases, God saw the people were in unclean state and needed to be separated from society until they were no longer unclean. So let's read Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46. It's a very interesting place. All the day during which the plague is on him, he will be unclean. He is unclean. He is to dwell alone. Outside of the camp will be his dwelling. So please, let's imagine right now, long before the advent of modern medicine, the thousands of years before, before the discovery of the harmful bacteria and viruses, when the rest of the pagan world did not even have a clue the diseases could transmit it, the Lord speaks of isolation from each other as a way to preserve the people of Israel. Is it interesting? I think it is very interesting for us. Way before, they had no clue, but their obedience to the scriptures actually saved their lives and saved the nation of Israel. The word unclean in Hebrew is a concept that means a person's condition in which he was forbidden not to only be in close contact with people, but even during services and at times when services were made to God. And when I read the place of scripture about isolation and what's going on there, you know, I came with an idea. Do you know what is the most joyful part of separation? Yeah, for sure. When the time of separation ended. For sure. It's the beginning and it has the end. And this is the joyful moment. At that time, he would be examined by a priest who would pronounce the person clean so that he could return to a full-fledged spiritual and social life. It was a wonderful moment of freedom for such a person. He could again come to the temple to worship and serve God after his time of separation. And this required faith and obedience to God and to the priests who made the decision about his healing. It required an obedience. What I would like to show today is that his restoration to health and to his family, although it was a time for rejoicing for such a man, still it was not an easy process, neither for him nor for his family and those who around him. You know why? One of the reasons, the main reasons, often people, even after their complete healing, still bore the stamp of illness as a result of the disease, and specifically leprosy. To face life in such a state, even though in good health, must have been a difficult proposition, requiring great faith in God, humility, patience, and obedience. Why is that? Because for many people, for many who went from that state, life never returned to its former state, as they would still be seen as unclean by other people. A danger to others and lepers for the rest of their lives in the eyes of some people. Still, they had to rebuild their lives the best way they could, and they had to serve God. Let's say together, they had to serve God. And the most important thing for them was that they do not remain forever isolated within themselves, in their hearts. They need to go out. For us who have had to spend time in seclusion or experience a separation, it can be very much the same. For example, After the loss of a dear person, we experience a time of sorrow and loneliness, followed by the time of recovery. And it is necessary to find strength inside of us in faith to return to life as usual, to return to God's plan for our lives, to not stuck in this condition, rather than to remain in the prison of self-isolation. The Lord gave us mercy. He gives us mercy. One of the striking examples of this in the book of Matthew, and let us read Matthew 26, verse 6. I won't read whole chapter, but I would like to read one verse. Matthew 26, verse 6. That's a great example for us. Now, while Yeshua was in Bethany, he was in Bethany. Where he was? In Bethany. At the house of Simon the leper. So he was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. Simon the leper is a very curious example for us. Very curious. The Bible calls him a leper, not the one who was a leper, or the one Simon who was healed of lepers. The Bible calls him the Simon the leper. Is it correct, or can you check me? Maybe it's in my Bible. Maybe your Bible says who was a leper or who had problem with leprosy and now he's healed. Simon the leper, is it correct? Oh, thank you for communicating. It is clear from the scriptures that he was already healed at that moment. He was healed. But for some people around him, he would forever remain Simon, who? The leper. Even after his healing, he would be seen to people who were around him as a Simon, the leper. But you know what the truth is? But this attitude that some people had towards him did not leave him in self-isolation. He was free, not only in his body, but also in his heart. A state of self-regret or complaining about his fate. In fact, he served the Messiah with his belongings. And one of the most beautiful stories about Yeshua's preparation for death took place in his house. House of whom? Simon the leper. He really didn't care about what people think about him. Okay, leper, what to do? Yeshua, welcome. I want to serve you. Be my guest. Be in my house. How often can we apply this passage from the Bible in our lives today? This cruel world inflicts wounds on us, sometimes cripples our souls and bodies. This is true of this life. And sometimes even after we come to the Messiah, after we accept him by faith into our lives, still we can bear the scars of those wounds, the after effects of past illnesses and battles in our soul, in our hearts. Sometimes these are wounds in our heads, our memories. Sometimes they are broken relationships that may never be restored. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes they are character traits that we find very difficult for us to cope with. Perhaps some will see us as lepers forever, contagious forever, unhealthy until our final death on earth. But don't let that stop us from serving God. I would like to repeat again. Don't let people stop us from serving the Lord. This quiet here, because it is an important truth. Do not let people stop us from serving the Lord. I can imagine that to some people, the house of Simon the leper would be contagious forever, because he was a leper. But Yeshua paid Simon a visit. He came to his house. He was in his house. He was in his place. Perhaps you are now experiencing a life of isolation. Keep the faith. Do not be discouraged. Do not give up hope. Keep Yeshua in your heart. And you know what? Yeshua will keep you. And when the time comes and you regain your freedom, return to the faith. Serve God with everything in you. Serve Him as Simon the leper did, with even more fire and dedication than you had before. It is an opportunity to serve the Lord. And we know that there's numerous examples in the Bible of the Lord healing people from the leprosy. And we can draw some important lessons from some of these today. So let us open Luke chapter 17, one of the most famous places about healing of the leprosy. Luke 17, verse 11, starting with verse 11. And please remember one very important truth. He wants us to be healed and restored. It is His will. It is the will of the Lord. And in His plan, even those who are impure by the law and are outside the camp are not deprived of the opportunity for forgiveness and cleansing. He always wants to heal us. He always wants to be with us. So let us read Luke chapter 17, starting with verse 11. Now, while going up to Jerusalem, Yeshua was passing between Samaria and the Galilee. So, very interesting place here already. So he was, let's say, somewhere. What a description here. Yeah, I mean, very accurate. Where he was, somewhere. Yeah, between Jerusalem and Samaria, somewhere. It really can happen everywhere, anywhere. Right here, the Lord is here. So Yeshua was passing between Samaria and the Galilee. As he entered a certain village, 10 men with leprosy came towards him. They stood some distance away and raised their voices, saying, "Yeshua, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the Kohanim." Leviticus, today's chapters of the Torah. Show yourselves to the Kohanim, to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell at Yeshua's feet, face down, giving him thanks. It was the act of worship to Yeshua. He bowed down before Yeshua, giving him praise and thanks for his healing. Then Yeshua answered and said, "Weren't 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Weren't any found who came back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" He was Samaritan. Then Yeshua said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." In Greek, we can also read here, it can be translated as, "Your faith saved you." Stand up. Your faith has saved you. You can go. You're free right now. You're free. What interesting. This passage of scripture holds many important lessons for us. We have time to look at only a few of those because we can go for days, literally for days, to look in this place. So let's take a look at a few lessons. First, the lepers recognized Yeshua's power and authority. It is very important to remember. They saw him from afar and recognized his power and his authority. Interestingly, of all the words, Luke chooses the word master in order to show how these lepers approach Yeshua. In the New Testament, the Greek epistathis is used only by Luke, this special word, master in Greek, only by Luke, and is commonly used by the apostles of Yeshua and his disciples who followed him. It's a very specific word. It was a word which showed great honor. It describes a person who has significant authority, significant power, This is why it is used in relation to Yeshua. Master, heal us, have mercy on us. So therefore, when 10 lepers turn to Yeshua, calling him Master, Luke wants to show that they were recognized Yeshua's authority and his power. Really, they recognize his authority. Perhaps they were aware of the many healings performed by Yeshua during his ministry. And please remember that he was the only hope they had, the only hope. They had no Baptist health care there. Or what else in Jacksonville? Mayo Clinics. Hopeless, nothing there. This was their last chance. There was no other way out of this difficult situation. No medication, no other decisions. These people were desperate. They came to Yeshua in desperate state. Desperate state. The second lesson, they came to Yeshua in humility and faith. When I read this place, it really struck me this time. Really struck me. They shouted from afar, have mercy on us. Let's say, have mercy on us. You know, some people would come with prescriptions. You know, Lord, please, you know, I have problems here, there, and could you please, if you can, I don't know, if it's possible, would you please this and that and 5, 10? So they had only one. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. What a state. The lepers admit that they are in a miserable situation. They cannot solve their problem. So it's the finish, it's the end, that end for them. Such an expression, have mercy on us, it's very interesting, specific expression. To use these words tells us, very obviously tells us, and it told Yeshua that they knew beyond all doubt that he was able and had the power to heal them. They weren't asking him, if you can, or if you are able, or do you have a power to heal us? For them, it was obvious. They plead for mercy. It was not a question for them, can he heal them or not? They just ask, please have mercy on us. Let's say, have mercy. Actually, it's a good prayer. It's a good prayer. Have mercy. But it also tells us of the humility of those people. They were not arrogant people. You know, the truth is, mercy cannot be earned, captured, or purchased. There is only one way to inspire mercy, through humbleness. This is the way how to receive mercy from the Lord. Be humble before him. You know, the truth is, with such a demonstration of faith in their hearts, it is not a surprise that Yeshua immediately answered their prayers. Immediately. He saw faith in their hearts. A great miracle. The cleansing of 10 lepers took place and in an instant, with no special prayers, no laying on of hands. It simply happened because of their faith and his mercy. Their faith and his mercy met together. And it was the moment of healing for them. They had faith and asked for mercy. There's another very specific and special point that we must understand about this healing, specific healing. According to the interpreters of the Torah and the rabbis of those days, cleansing from leprosy was one of the most obvious signs of the Messiah. The Messiah who's supposed to come, and he will have an authority to heal lepers. It was the sign of Messiah. That is why Yeshua answered the question of Yohanan the Mercer when he asked him, are you Messiah or not? He told him, tell him that lepers are cleansed. It's the miracle. So knowing the messianic aspirations and expectation of those days, we can assume that at least one of them, I don't know how many of them, but at least one of them, saw the Messiah in Yeshua and believed in his power to cleanse the leper. At least one of them had this faith. And most likely, I'm guessing here, but it looks like for me, if you know the expectation of those days, they were expecting the Messiah to come. And one of the signs of Messiah was to heal the lepers. And here he is, healing the lepers. It is obvious. Most likely it was one who returned to worship him. And you remember, now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back glorifying God with the loud voices. And he fell at Yeshua's feet, face down in worship, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Amazing story. It's an amazing story. Yeshua didn't rebuke him. He didn't say, stand up, don't do that. You know why? Because Yeshua is the Messiah. He accepted his worship as the Messiah, as the Son of God. It was appropriate to do. A Samaritan he was, one of the outcasts with whom Orthodox religious Jews refused even to talk. Yet this outcast was the only one who understood who Yeshua was, who returned to bow before him, to praise him for healing and cleansing, and to receive salvation of his soul. Stand up, your faith has saved you. I don't know how about you, I want to hear these words. Stand up, your faith has saved you. It's not enough to be healed. It's not enough to be restored. There's more. There's salvation of your soul. There is eternity with the Lord. There is forgiveness and mercy of the Lord, way beyond only healing. The third lesson for us is that true gratitude, a faithful heart, is one of the qualities, one of the elements of a true faith. It is very important to have gratitude. It opens doors to God's miracle. Gratitude attracts the presence of the Lord. Anyone, even Yeshua, would be more open to serve someone who is grateful. It is, you open the door for a miracle in your life with gratitude. No surprise that the prayer Yeshua taught us begins with gratitude and praise to God, our Father who is in heaven. Your name is Kadosh, holy. Thank you, Father, for everything. I want to tell you today one of very important truths from the Bible. Don't say anyone, please. It's between us. If you're watching right now online, do not tell anyone. Do not tell anyone. Truth is that the Lord wants to cleanse you, heal you from internal wounds and pains. He wants you to be free of fear. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. This is the same story with different scene, but the same idea. Here is this. The leper one comes to Yeshua and he asks him, Master, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Again, it is not a question of can you heal me or not? Are you able to heal me or not? It's the only one question. If you're willing, please, please, Lord, cleanse me. Yeshua stretched out his hand and touched him. It was against the rule of the law. But you know what? He is the ruler. He gave this law to Moses. He is clean, and he makes us clean by his touch. So he stretched his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. I'm willing. These are his words to you today. Do not say anyone. He's saying to you, I am willing, be cleansed. There's no doubts. There's no doubts. One more story for today. Naaman, another instructive story. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in his master's sight and highly esteemed. He was a general of a great army, Syrian Empire. Because through him Adonai had given victory to Aram, though the man was a mighty man of valor, everything's great. One small problem, he was leper. Great man, general, a strong authority, but he's a leper. What to do? Death in front of him. Naaman fought with Israel. He took prisoners, and as happens in war, he killed people. He captured an Israeli girl. Maybe he killed her parents or took her away by force. In any case, he was a cruel man because he was a general. Surely he thought of Israel as a defeated people, having a God who could not save them from the hand of the Syrians. He was sure because he had a victory, previous victory over Israel. And suddenly the disease. Naaman, so successful and one so strong, suddenly found himself hopelessly ill, and there was no one who could help. Leprosy is a slow, painful, leading to certain death, sickness. But then help came to Naaman from a most unexpected place. The captive, the little slave girl, told Naaman about a man in Israel who conquered the conquered nation, who could heal him. And can you imagine his mentality at that moment? How hard it must have been for Naaman to change his mentality. Yesterday he fought against Israel. It was yesterday. And today he must go humbly to a defeated people as a supplicant, begging for mercy, hoping for sympathy. Yesterday he was victorious. Today he needs to humble himself. So let's just read from verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, a general, the great man, very rich person, great power. So he comes to the prophet full of glory with his belongings, his chariots, with his pride of the general, and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. And verse 10, here's Elijah. So Elisha sent him a messenger, his servant, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored and you will be clean. Verse 11, can you imagine Naaman here? Please turn on your imagination. Think about his reaction. Here he is coming to prophet, and servant came out and said, go wash yourself in Jordan. Don't bother my master. Go wash yourself. But Naaman was angered and walked away, saying, I thought he would surely come out to me and do great ministry of healing. Yeah. He would surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of Adonai his God, and wave his hand. So he already knew what the prophet is supposed to do. And wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Aren't Emana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more then when he told you only to wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. Then his flesh was restored like a flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Verse 15. When he returned with his entire retinue to the man of God and came and stood before him, he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, please accept a present from your servant. But Elisha said, as Adonai before whom I stand lives, I will accept nothing. Naaman pressed him to accept, but Elijah refused. So Naaman said, if not, then please let your servant be given to mule loads of soil, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any other god except Adonai. I don't know what was the reason, but perhaps the reason Elijah did not come out to meet the great general is that he wanted to leave Naaman alone with God's word. Naaman would have to make a clear choice, either yes or no, either follow the instructions or go home and die. But Naaman obeys, and the results are incredible. Not only does the Lord change the life of the general, but also the political situation in Syria and Israel through this healing. Naaman, formerly one of the most powerful enemies of Israel, becomes a friend to Israel and a follower of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Only our Lord is capable to do that. Let's say only our Lord is capable to do that. Amen. I would like to finish with one interesting idea. It is very interesting that the name Naaman in Hebrew means faithful. Faithful. This word has the same root as the word emunah in Hebrew, faith. Indeed, faithfulness to God and faith in Him results in miracles in our lives. Amen. James 4:6, but He gives greater grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. Thank you so much for your attention. Let us close the service with Aaronic benediction. Let us stand before the Lord and receive this prayer. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider to be a blessing to Beth Israel. And let us receive this prayer with our hearts. Yevrechacha Adonai v'ishmerecha, Yair Adonai panevelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panevelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.